Jerry Bader Show 935, 888-455-1360, discussing the Charlie Gard story, which I personally have not. Earl took it up when I was on vacation a while back. William McGurn in today's Wall Street Journal has what I think is an outstanding piece, and he tickles on religion there, but only wants to wade into the water so far. We've people of faith have come to accept that suffering is part of our life in this world. And with the advent of medicine and amazing developments, we don't accept that anymore. And if medicine can't fix it, then you should just die. But you certainly shouldn't live a life of suffering. Now, it is one thing for an individual to decide that. Okay? It's another thing, though, for the state, and because it is state-run health care in Britain, for Charlie Gard, who can't make a choice, it is a death panel. Earl, you're right. This is the dang death panel. And I want to take this a step further. So the British government is saying, look, he's going to have a rotten life. Why would you want to let him live? One, because he's a human being, and he has parents who want to care for him. But let's push this to its logical conclusion. McGurn brought up Down syndrome children or individuals, okay? And he points out that, and parents do, and can you imagine anything ruder than someone coming up to a Down syndrome parent and saying, well, you know, there's a test for that. What'd you go have that kid for, you dummy? I don't know how I would be able to restrain myself were that me. And I don't have a special needs child. But picture this. So what if the British government decides at some juncture that a Down syndrome life is not a life worth living? They mandate the amnio test. And if it's positive, they tell you, we're not paying. The British healthcare system is not going to pay for your prenatal care and your birth because you shouldn't have that kid. Would they ever force the termination of the pregnancy? Well, okay. Does that sound impossible? They want to kill Charlie Gard, and he's virtually a newborn. So how much of a stretch is that? To say, well, you know, this just makes no sense. This person is not going to have a happy life. They're going to suffer. One, that is such a complete misunderstanding of Down syndrome. There are varying degrees of functional. And beyond that, this has haunted me. A sibling and I had a debate over this, and he said if they'd had that test, you know, if he was in a position to have children and they found out that it was going to be Down syndrome, he thinks they would terminate the pregnancy. Some point after that, I mean, she's long grown up now, but when we first moved into our neighborhood here in Green Bay, there's a little girl. I would see her this time of year playing out on her yard. And she was just beautiful. She had golden hair. I think one day she was blowing bubbles. I'm not sure. And I thought, oh my gosh. How many people, based on an amniocentesis test, would terminate that life in the womb? Well, I don't know. No, my kid's going to go to college. My kid's going to be a doctor. My kid's going to be a lawyer. And have no value on a life they haven't seen yet. And McGurn is right. It's time to admit this is an extension of abortion in the devaluing of life. But there are, and I think McGurn does an outstanding job of pointing out the very large issues that the Charlie Gard case has laid bare, not just when it comes to single-payer system, but just Western civilization and its values and where they've gone. Matt on the road. Matt, go ahead.
Morning, Jerry. You beat me to it. My friend has a daughter, a nice little girl with Down syndrome, and she is one of my favorite people on planet Earth. And when you start talking about the government gets to decide who lives and who dies and what life has value, it's, you know, it's a very slippery slope. And I was just thinking, you know, what if they decided her life didn't have value and I didn't have her in my life? I mean, that'd be a loss to me. And so where does it stop? And that's the scary part.
Well, that and Matt, you've pushed it a little further down the road. That's exactly where I was going. It doesn't stop with Down syndrome.
I mean, what if, you know, you have a child with a heart defect and they don't want to have to pay for its surgery once it's born because it might pass away? Where does it end? And that's what's scary.
Well, I'm going to build on something Earl shared with me. What if they develop a test that determines a child's going to be born blind? Now blind, yeah. Blind people.
I mean, who knows? And that's why it just. You can't have it in any form.
But here's why that's a big one, though, Matt, because you and I both know blind people could have incredibly productive lives.
Sure, blind and deaf.
Yeah, well, Helen Keller. I call it the Helen Keller moment. Thanks a lot for the call. 888-455-1360. And then the whole other element of this that I haven't taken up yet. This is what happens when government makes healthcare decisions. There are a lot of people in this country think health insurance companies are as bad or worse than the government. The government has awarded a guardian to a child that has parents to advocate for the child's death against the wishes of the parents. To Dale in Denmark. Dale, go ahead.
I'm kind of with your last caller. I think it's going to get to the point. Eventually, it's a ways off, but who is going to be a productive or a member of the society or a burden to the society? Old people, disabled people, and so on. We just get rid of them.
Well, Dale, how far really are we from that now? And the example that McGurn gave, I think he said the Netherlands, where a woman with dementia, apparently she was asleep and they were going to euthanize her while she was asleep and she woke up. The doctor had her family hold her down so he could kill her. I mean, that almost brings me to tears.
Yeah. I think you read the book, Proof of Heaven, where the doctors wanted to pull the plug on this guy and the family insisted that they keep him on for a while and he woke up a couple days later.
Which, by the way, and they really have never figured out how he came out of it.
Right. I don't know.
Miracles
happen. Right?
And here's the thing about that. That wasn't a miracle of modern medicine. That was just a miracle. They didn't do anything that impacted him. We should still, you know what? This would be a great time to get him on. I said I was going to try to get him on. To John in Green Bay. John, go ahead. Whoop, no, John. Well, these things happen. Maybe something burning on the stove. Maybe whoever does the publisher's clearinghouse just came up to his door and it was $10 million. I'd hang up on a radio host too. Who wouldn't, I mean? Earl's disappointed because he said he had a really good point. This does not surprise me at all. So John in Green Bay, right, he couldn't hang on. That happens. He was going to say growing up his neighbor was okay with abortion, but would praise you for having a crippled dog. And that's a whole other thing, a whole different is the way we are elevating the value of animal life. And don't think that at the same time you aren't devaluing human life. And you know what? Maybe Charlie Gard will suffer. I don't know. But when we accept the proposition that better to be dead than take the chance of any suffering. We have lost our souls. To Christina and Tomahawk. Christina, go ahead.
Hi, Jerry. I missed the last little bit here, but I completely agree that this can be taking it too far. We have three sons. They're all under five, so we deal with a lot of youth all the time at our house. Craziness, chaos. And when our oldest was born, the first night, he went from in the nursery to the NICU overnight. We didn't know until we woke up in the morning. Those next 3 days were like an episode of House for us. We went from he's going to have open-heart surgery when he's 3 days old, that his problem was an indication that I had an autoimmune disease. And guess what? After 9 days, we took him home. He's a healthy little boy. There's nothing wrong with him. They said as long as he doesn't get seizures when he grows up, he's going to be a happy little boy. What if in that first day they said, we don't know, we're not going to figure it out, and that's the end? We'd be missing one little boy of chaos at our house. Brings me to tears.
Well, I mean, and Christina, thanks for sharing, because that is a powerful example of what we're talking about here. And what saddens me is, I believe, and thanks a lot for the call, the British government is essentially saying they don't want to set an example. They don't want to make an exception. And those of you in this country, I want you to think about this. They appointed a legal guardian for a child that has two parents. Well, that could never happen in America. Now, again, I mean, obviously it happens all the time with bad parents. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is two loving parents who want their child to live. The government disagrees with that decision and appoints a guardian to facilitate the child dying. And I submit that we don't know his quality of life is irrelevant. Dennis in Wisconsin Rapids. Dennis, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say my grandson just turned 13 in May, but when my daughter-in-law was pregnant with him, the doctor had diagnosed that he would probably have Down syndrome. But we look back at our family history, and yes, we do have one of my mother's sisters had a boy, had a son with Down syndrome. So we talked to her, and she had a decision to make, but she ended up keeping it. We agreed to help her and do all we could and everything. Well, he's normal. He never did come out that way. Well, had she aborted it, we wouldn't have the grandson we have now.
And you would never know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you would never know. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll get one more in this segment, Earl. That's a good point, though, that tests aren't perfect. You are basically betting a life on a medical test. Dan and Stevens Point. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, aren't we as Republicans, though, kind of doing the same thing, though, if we repeal the Obamacare part that protects people the right to have insurance irrespective of their health condition? What's going to happen is that's going to force them almost into a scenario like this where if they have a Down syndrome child or something and there's no insurance, they can't get it, they can't afford it, they're going to get... Why do we discriminate against these people? Why not have the insurance law state that if you have a policy, people can buy that policy irrespective of their health condition and then base it on that so nobody gets discriminated on, and we don't promote the idea of getting rid of these children that are going to be costly.
I think that is quite a leap on your part to compare the two. Well, I know you don't. You proffered it. If you didn't think it was a leap, you wouldn't have brought it up, Dan. But
right.
Hang on, Dan. Dan, I want to respond to that. Hang on, because you asked a question, so I want to answer it. One, Republicans don't want to just pull that out. They want to replace it, return it to the high-risk pools.
Which is
unaffordable. So is a pre-existing condition. It is one of the things that is going to have Obamacare collapse under its own weight. You're suggesting that all is well, remain calm. That provision is not affordable. That's why it's being debated. Thanks a lot for the call. No, we need to come up with a way to deal with those people. Absolutely. The notion that Republicans have no thoughts on that is just not true. Carl, we will get to Carl Implover after the break. So says the evil producer. It's his fault, Carl. Call him a bad name during the break, but not on the air. It's not. We need to take a break. I'm teasing. 9:50.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.